Well, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 11 as we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. We're seeing what we call really a great foundational letter. I think the foundational letter of the New Testament. We're seeing truth concerning, of course, Christian life and salvation and Israel and the church and practical application for living. We're in the section of which is called really, we're calling it Romans 9, 10, 11. This section goes together dealing with the nation of Israel. And there's some great truths, but the truth is there's some hard things here. You know, we talked about it. Romans 9, 10, 11 are some really hard passages. And so this morning, as we look at this, as we saw last week and some other weeks before that, that you have to think. You have to really look at this. This is not entertainment. This is truth. And so it's going to take some concentration to think through these passages. You know, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that most people, when people study Romans, most of the time people look at Romans chapter 3 and chapter 4, and then they'll go to Romans chapter 8, and then they'll go to Romans chapter 12. But at Countryside, we teach the Bible verse by verse, passage by passage. So we started at Romans chapter 1, and we've gone all the way through, and we're in a hard section, Romans 9, 10, 11. To be real honest with you, very few people teach Romans 9, 10, 11. And there's some really hard things there, and we've seen those in these last few weeks, and so we have to concentrate on what's being said and, of course, make sure we see it in the context. There's some great things there. As we look at this, we see that God has chosen the nation of Israel as His people. But the most incredible thing happened. The nation of Israel rejected the Messiah. Why? We've seen two things, that they tried to come by works and not by faith. And we've also seen that God gave, and this is the hard thing, God gave a partial hardening on His nation. God did it. The results, as we saw, is that at this time the nation rejected the Messiah, has been set aside, and that God is using the Gentiles. We call it the church, the body of Christ, because we came by faith. And He is using us. What is God's plan for the church, and what is God's plan for Israel? And how does all this fit together? Well, this morning we're going to continue seeing this and seeing God's plan as He works with both Israel and the church, how things fit together. And our goal, of course, is to be able to see how these things flow. Now, when people think of the church, they think of a number of things. Sometimes people think of the building. They'll say, let's go to the church, and they're meaning the building. Or sometimes they think of church as an event. They'll say, are you having church tonight? As an event. And sometimes people actually see the church as what it really is, and that's the believers. That's the people. The church is made up of the body of Christ, made up of those people who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, Jews and Gentiles. And as we look at the church today, and what's the amazing thing is that we find that the church is mostly Gentile. In fact, even at the time that the book of Romans was written, when Paul wrote this in about 57 A.D., by that time even, the church had become more and more Gentile. So you think about the nation of Israel, and you say, well, wait a minute, the nation of Israel, that's God's people. As a whole, the nation of Israel has rejected the Messiah. Now, that's an incredible thing. Well, this morning, as we continue, we're going to see what happens. What happens to these people? What happens to the church? What happens to Israel? How does it fit together? And we'll see God's plan and purpose. Now, as we begin, remember that the truths we've been seeing in Romans 9, 10, 11, let's think about this. God's plan for Israel, God's plan for the church. Think first about this. And we mentioned it earlier, but think through this with me. We know that God chose a people, a nation. We call them Israel, chosen by God, beginning with a man named Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, set them apart to make known the truths, the plan of salvation for the world, the coming Messiah. But Israel missed the Messiah. Back when Jesus Christ came, they as a nation, not individually, because there's some Jewish people who believe in Jesus, but as a nation, they missed the Messiah. Why? And we said the two reasons. One, we saw at the end of chapter 9, and that is that they tried to come to God by works of the law rather than by faith. And see, that's how people miss the Messiah. When people think they can get to God by doing good works, they miss the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and you come to God by faith. Israel missed the Messiah because they tried to come to God by works. That was one thing. The second thing we saw was in chapter 11, which is where we are now. In fact, we'll even see some of the verses this morning. The second thing, that why they missed the Messiah, is, and this is hard, and we talked about it last week, God brought a partial hardening on His own people. The word hardening there really means that He blinded them, that He made them where they're not able to think. The idea is that God actually hardened His people so they missed the Messiah. Now, we talked last week that our ways are not God's ways and our thoughts are not His thoughts, and as high as above the heavens are the earth, so are His ways and thoughts above ours. And if we were doing the plan, we'd say, I don't know if I would do it that way. God says, that's okay, I'm God, I do it my way. And He has a plan and a purpose, and it works exactly right. And so what we've seen is that Israel rejected the Messiah because they tried to come by works, and that God brought a partial hardening on His people. God set them aside. Now, here's the great thing. He is not through with His people. We know that He is now using the church, which is the body of Christ, the believers in Jesus Christ, and one day, at the fullness of the Gentiles, God's going to take us out and he's going to go back and use his people again. So let me put it to you simply. God chose Israel as a nation because if they tried to come to God by works and because of a partial hardening on them by God, they missed the Messiah and they have been set apart. They've been set aside. Not permanently, but set aside. It's called a partial hardening. He has chosen us, body of Christ, Jews and Gentiles in one body. The church, this passage calls us Gentiles. He's using us now. And when the fullness of Gentile come, God gets through with us, so to speak. He's going to take us out and he's going to go back and he's going to use his people again. That's what we're going to see. It's powerful. We'll see this morning how God uses the church in the place of Israel. But one day there'll be a return for his people. Let me break down the passage for you. It's sort of a long passage and we'll go through it very quickly. In Romans 11, we'll start at verse 16. Verse 16 says, God's not through with his people. And then in verses 17 through 24, which is a long part, which is an illustration, he uses a tree, in fact, an olive tree, and he talks about branches. He's going to show God using Israel in the church. And then finally, in verses 25 through 27, we're going to see the future restoration of his people. It's pretty powerful, and we'll see how all these things fit. Well, let's begin. God is not through with his people. The Jews, even at the time of Paul and even today, God still has his people. Now, I want to show you. He's going to use two illustrations in verse 16. Let me read verse 16 for you. It says this. If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. Now, he's using two illustrations, dough and a tree. Now, when we talk about dough, he's talking about a piece of basically dough that he's going to turn into bread, okay? Now, watch what he says. If the first piece of dough is holy, then the lump is holy, and if the root is holy, the branches are holy. He's really dealing with his people. Let me show you what he's saying. You remember in that day and time, they might make some bread, and they would have a first piece, and then they would break some of that off, that's the lump, and they would make other bread. And all he's saying is, if the first piece of bread is holy, then the lump is holy. The first piece of bread represents Israel with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God chose these people, the Jewish people, and set them apart and made them holy in that sense, set them apart. He's saying if the first part, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all that's holy, then the last part is too. God is not through with his people. All he's trying to say in this verse is that God is not through with his people, and if he chose Israel under Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he also has chosen them and all the rest of the Jews as well. Notice what he says. If the first piece of dough is holy, and it is, then the lump is also. If the first piece with Jacob and Abraham and Isaac, if that's God's people, then so are the rest of his people, God's people. He will always have them. His second illustration is the tree. Look, if the root is holy, the branches are holy. What's the root of the tree? Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the beginning of the nation of Israel. He says, if the beginning of Israel is holy, so is the rest of them, though are the branches holy. All he's trying to show in these first verse is that God is not through with his people. And if he chose Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he also chose all the other Jews as well. It doesn't matter when they live. They are God's chosen people. Now remember, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about service. Now he's going to do something that's really amazing. He's going to give us an illustration. He's going to give an illustration of an olive tree. And he's going to show how it relates to the nation of Israel and the church. Now, let me show you something. I'm going to tell you what he's going to do, and then we'll see it as we go through the verses. He's going to say that there's this olive tree, and it's a natural olive tree. It's got branches on it. The branches are Israel, and the tree is service for God. It's like saying, here's this tree, and this is my people serving me. The branches are the nation of Israel. He calls them the natural branches. But the natural branches didn't believe in the Messiah. They rejected the Messiah. So he says, I've taken my tree, which is a picture of serving God, and I've broken the branches off, the natural branches, that's Israel, and he's taken them off and he's setting them aside. And then he goes over to a wild olive tree. This is the natural tree. He goes over to the wild olive tree, that's the Gentiles, and he breaks off those branches and he grafts them in to the natural tree. It's the picture that here's Israel, here's the service for God. The Jewish people rejected Messiah. He breaks them off, sets them aside, takes the Gentiles, we believe, and he grafts us in and he uses us. And then as he goes through his illustration, he's actually going to say, what about my original branches over here? What am I going to do with them? He says, one day I'm going to take them and I'm going to graft them back in as well. So as we go through the illustration, here's what I want you to see. You've heard me say many, many times, God chose the nation of Israel. They rejected the Messiah. He set them aside. He then takes the church, the Jew and the Gentile in one body. We call them Gentiles in this passage. And he uses us. When he gets through with us, he's going to take us out. And then he's going to use Israel again. In the illustration, the tree is service. The natural branches are Israel who have been set aside. The wild branches are us who've been put in. And one day when he's through with us, he calls it in this passage, the fullness of the Gentiles. He's going to take us out and he's going to put the original branches back in again. That's what the illustration is. Let's look at it as we go through. You have to see it in the context because there's a couple of hard verses in there, and I'll show it to you as we go through it. Look what he says. Let's start with verse 17. Here's the illustration. Now, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partakers with them of the rich root of the olive tree. Now, he starts and says, and it's true, if some of the branches were broken off, that some of the branches were broken off of the natural branches, that's the Jewish people, broken off means he stopped using them. Now remember, this has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with service. He says, now if some of the branches were broken off, because they, you know, he's not using them to serve anymore, and you, talking to us, to the Gentiles, to the church at Rome, were being a wild olive, you're not natural, you're the wild, that's the Gentiles, we were grafted in among them and become partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. He says, if it's true that the natural ones were broken off and the wild ones were grafted in and we are connected with God. In fact, what he's really saying is, in the same way that Israel got to serve God, we, the wild olive tree, we get to serve God because we've been grafted in. Now, this is some deep stuff, so you have to think through it with me. This is his illustration. So he says, so if some of the branches were broken off, and they were, that's Israel, and you, Gentiles, were wild olives, we were grafted in, we become partakers with them of the rich root of the olive tree. We get to be connected with God in the same way that Israel was. He gives us a warning. Watch what it is. Verse 18. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you're arrogant, remember, it's not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. His warning is, do not be arrogant toward the branches. Now, the word arrogant has that idea of pride, and the branches are Israel that's been broken off. And he's saying, for you Gentiles, we church, we believers, let's don't be arrogant toward those who've been broken off and set aside. See, what we could do is we could look around and say, hey, look at Israel. They're the ones that should have accepted the Messiah, and they didn't, and we did. So, in a sense, we're better than they are because we're the ones who believed, and they didn't. We could look over at Israel and say, you're not getting being used by God, and we are. In fact, we could almost say, aren't we better than Israel? Have you ever looked around and thought, here is God's people chosen all the way back from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Judah, David, Daniel, all the way through, and they're not being used by God? And here we are, Jews and Gentiles together in one body called the church, mostly Gentile, and we're getting to be used by God. And we could look around and say, we're getting to be used by God, and you're not. That's because you didn't believe. That's because we're actually better. That's what sometimes people think. In fact, there are people today who think, yeah, the Jews are nothing. In fact, there are a lot of people who think God's completely through with his people. He says, since they were broken off and you were grafted in, don't be arrogant about the fact that God's using us. In fact, look what he says. Do not be arrogant toward the branches, for if you're arrogant, remember it's not you who supports the root, but it's the root who supports you. It's God who does it all. This is God's plan. We can't turn around and say, guess what? We're getting to be used by God. It's the grace of God that we're getting to be used by God. There's no arrogance involved. See, arrogant means pride. And every one of us in this room could say this, by the grace of God, we get to be used by God. Let me tell you, anything you get to do by God is because he chose you in Christ for the foundation of the world. He saved you. He gave you spiritual gifts. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you the Word of God. He put you in a local body. He put you in the circumstances. So anything you ever get to do by God, it is the grace of God always. There can never be any arrogance in service. And even today, when we look and say, the Jewish people as a whole, as a nation, have rejected the Messiah. And they've been set aside. They're the natural branches that have been broken off and set aside. And we're the wild olive branches. And we've been placed in there. We can't look over at them and say, you missed it. We're better than you are. But that's not what he says. He says, just remember, this is God's working his plan. There can be no arrogance. There's no pride. But he knows what we think. Look at the next verse. But you will say then, well, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. You could say it that way. Well, but those branches, the Jewish people, were set aside so we could be grafted in, we could be used. They were stopped being used so we could be used. Doesn't that sound like we're better? Look what he says. Quite right. Verse 20. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. He says, now quite right, it's true. They were broken off because why? They didn't believe as a nation. Here they was, God said, this is my service. I want you to serve me. You don't believe. You reject. So I break you off, set you aside, and I graft in. They were broken off because of what? Unbelief. And you stand, you're grafted in because of faith, because we believed in the Messiah. We go, yeah, that's right, but he's got another warning. But do not be conceited, but fear. Don't think we're special and better than Israel because now we get to serve and they don't. Why? What does he say? Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Now, what he's saying is, he's not talking about salvation, so don't. I've seen people take this one verse out and they try to use it for salvation. Let's talk about service. Listen, if God did not even spare his own people in service, he doesn't have to use us either. Look, he didn't have to use Israel, he doesn't have to use us. We can't go around saying, well, Israel rejected, it's a good thing we're here. You know what God could say? I don't have to use them, and I don't have to use you. If he didn't use his own people, he doesn't have to use us either, because he can do anything he wants. And so he says, if God did not spare the natural branches, if when they, as a nation, rejected, he set them aside, he said, he'll not spare you either. He said, he doesn't have to use us as well. Remember, he's dealing with service. He's not dealing with salvation. If he stopped using his own people, he could stop using us as well. It's powerful. He's going to sum it together in verse 22. Watch. Here's the summary of the whole plan. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fail, it's severity. But to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you'll also be cut off. Now watch what he's saying. This is his plan. Behold the kindness and severity of God. You know what the kindness of God is? That he uses you. The kindness of God that he would take people, whether it's his nation or the body of Christ, and use us. That's the kindness of God. You know what the severity of God is? That he would cut you off. Now, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about service. He took his people, Israel, and he cut them off. He has shown us kindness. Every one of this room who know Christ as Savior, we are in the body of Christ. And what we could actually say is God has shown us kindness for letting us get to serve God. He's shown severity to Israel because they are God's people, and when they rejected, he stopped using them. He's, as he said in this passage, he broke off the branch and put us in. So he says, here's the plan. Behold the kindness and the severity of God. Notice what he says. To those who fail, severity. Who is it that fail? That's Israel. They rejected. They missed the Messiah. So what did they get? They got severity. They aren't being used by God. But to you, Gentiles, the church, the body of Christ, but to you, God's kindness. We get the kindness of God. He's using us for his glory. Now watch the next part of the verse. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Bottom line, if he keeps using you. But if not, he could cut us off. Now, I've seen people use this verse for salvation. He's not talking salvation. He's talking about service. He's talking about the tree. He's talking about using Israel and then setting them aside. He's talking about taking us and grafting us in. And he says, look, just I put them out, I can put you out. I put them in, I can put you in. I can do whatever I want to do. He's talking service. He's not talking about individual salvation. He's talking about service as the nation of Israel and service as the body of Christ. So don't pull these verses out of context and try to say a person can lose salvation. Let me tell you, we know this, that the moment you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, he says, I give you what? Eternal life. Eternal life means eternal life. and that's life that lasts forever. It begins the moment you believe. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, who hears my word and believes in me has, present tense, eternal life, will never, future-wise, come into condemnation. Past tense has already passed from death to life. So the moment a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, they have eternal life. This passage is not talking about salvation. It's talking about service. He said, I have a tree, my service. I have my natural branches, Israel. They rejected me. I broke them off and set them aside. I take a wild tree, the Gentiles, and I'm grafting them in. And you Gentiles do not need to look at arrogance and say, too bad about you guys, Israel. He says, let me tell you, I broke them off. I can break you off. I didn't have to use them. I don't have to use you. We got the kindness of God. They got the severity at this stage. Now, let me tell you what he's going to do, and let me tell you what he says. Look what he says, verse 23. And they also, Israel, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Now, he's talking about service, and he says, if the nation of Israel as a people turn back to me, what am I going to do with them? I'm going to use them. I'm going to take the natural branches, and I'm going to graft them right back into the tree. That's what he's saying. And let me tell you, you know this, that tree-wise, when they rejected the Messiah, they were broken off. Tree-wise, when we believe in Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, we are placed on the tree. We're getting to serve God. They're not getting to serve God. When they, and he says in this passage, if, and it's a third class if, maybe they will, maybe they won't. He's going to go on to explain that they will. If they return to the Messiah and believe in him, and they will, what's he going to do? He says, I'm going to take my natural branches and put them right back into the natural tree. He explains it in the next verse, verse 24. He says, for if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, talking about us, and we were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, in other words, if God can take a wild branch and put into a natural cultivated olive tree, how much more will these branches, these who are the natural branches, be grafted into their own tree? He says, if he can take us who are wild and put us into the tree and use us, how much easier is it for him to take the natural branch and put it back in to use? Let me tell you something, and you know this. One of these days, we're going to be taken out. The Bible calls it the departure of the church. We have always used the word rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible. That's a Latin term coming from the Latin word rapio, which means a snatching away. Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds. The dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain to be caught up together with him in the air. We call it the rapture. That's the church, the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 says, in a moment, in a twinkling eye, we'll be gone. Philippians 4 says he's going to come and change us and we'll be gone. When we are taken off the face of the earth, that's called the fullness of the Gentiles, the fullness of the church. He's going to go back and his people are going to believe in him again. And he's going to take the branches, he's going to graft them right back in. He has been using us, he's now going to use them. Let me tell you, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to deal with it tonight. If you come back tonight, we're in Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. We're studying the Gospel of Mark on Sunday night. In Mark chapter 13, Jesus goes and sits on the Mount of Olives with his men, and they ask him about the end time events, and he teaches them the end time events. And what he teaches them about is that there's going to come a time in the tribulation the nation of Israel will turn to God in faith. That's what's going to happen. They're going to turn back. He's going to use them. And at the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will deliver his people, and they will be the branches who are put back in and be used by God. That's what we see. Look what he says. For if you, talking about us, if we're by nature a wild olive tree and we got grafted into the cultivated natural tree, good tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own tree? Well, the answer is be very easy, and he will. Now, here's the question, and you've heard me say it many times. What's going to happen to Israel? There are a lot of people who teach that when Israel rejected the Messiah, God is through with them, he's gone. And we, the church, are being used by God, and we replace Israel. That's called replacement theology. It is not biblical. God is not through with His people. We saw it in chapter 9. We saw it in chapter 10. We saw it at the beginning of chapter 11. Has God cast away His people? No way. What happens to the branches who have been broken off and set over here? Why were they broken off? Number one, they tried to come to God by works. And number two, they were hardened by God, a partial hardening. I want you to see, He's going to talk about the future. What's He going to do with the nation of Israel? Look at verse 25. I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now that verse has a lot in it. We'll go very quickly through it, but I want you to see what he says. He starts off by saying, I don't want you, brethren, to be uninformed. He says, I want you, we'd say it another way, I want you to know what's going to happen. He says, about this mystery. What is the mystery? We'll see it in just a second. He then goes on to say, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, so that we won't think that we're better than we really are. So that we won't look over at Israel and say, you poor guys, you missed it. God's using us now. Too bad for you. No, that's not the plan. In fact, the most amazing thing is God on purpose hardened His own people. Now, I don't understand it. I told you that when we studied Romans 9, 10, and 11, especially the last two or three weeks when we got the end of 10 and the beginning of 11, and we talked through there, that God had a plan, which was an incredible plan, to take His own people and harden them. It's a partial hardening. And so not only did they miss the Messiah because they tried to come by works, but they missed the Messiah because God on purpose hardened them. I don't understand it. You and I would say, well, I don't think we'd do it that way. God says, I don't care how you would do it. I do it my way because I'm God. This is my plan. Now watch what he says. I don't want you to be, brethren, uninformed of this mystery. Though I don't want you to be wise in your own estimation. Here's what we find. A partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. As a nation, they were hardened. It's a partial hardening because it means two things partial. Number one, not every Jew was hardened. There are many Jewish people who believe in Jesus Christ. Paul, Peter, James, John, bunches now. But at the beginning of the church, there were Jews who believed in Christ. It was a partial hardening. Second, partial means temporary. Remember, they've been broken off and set aside, but that's not the end of them. It's temporary that he blinded them, that he hardened them. I told you that it's amazing that if you talk to Jewish people, it's as if they don't understand. As a people. I told you, remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you about Miss Pfefferman on the airplane. And I said, Miss Pfefferman, she's a Jewish lady who said, I wish I could believe like you. And I said, Miss Pfefferman, would you be willing just to look through the scripture to see if Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah? Does he match the things? And she said, no, I'm not willing to do that. I don't want to. I don't want to even think about it. There is a partial hardening on the people. But it's partial. It's temporary. Until when? A partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. The fullness of the Gentiles means the filling up of the Gentiles, the completion of the ministry of the church. That's us. When God is through with us, and let me tell you, we don't know when. It could be any second. If somebody has told you there are signs of Jesus coming to get you, there are no signs. For the rapture, for Jesus to come take us out, could happen any second. There are no signs. There are many signs for the second coming of Jesus Christ as he comes as the king. Revelation 19:11, Matthew 24:25, Luke, Mark chapter 13, Zechariah chapters 12 and 14, Isaiah. There are many places that talk about the second coming of Christ as the king. There are no signs that say when Jesus Christ is going to come get us and take us off the face of the earth. That's the fullness of the Gentiles. Now, it's a partial hardening on Israel until we are taken out. And when we are taken out, the Bible tells us, and you can see this tonight if you come to the study of Mark, there will be a tribulation time period. And at the beginning of the tribulation time period, 12,000 Jews from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, this is Revelation chapter 7, will trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. There will be 144,000 Jews who begin to evangelize for Christ at the beginning of the tribulation. And many Jewish people will believe. In fact, Israel as a people will believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's when he takes those branches who now believe in him and he grafts them back into the tree. In fact, look what he says. a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. And so all Israel will be saved. And when he says saved, he's not only talking about eternal salvation, he's talking about a physical deliverance. Because you remember a couple of weeks ago, I taught that the nation of Israel will be surrounded at the end of the tribulation by the enemies. And Jesus Christ comes and he delivers them from their enemies. He is the deliverer. Look what the passage says. Quoting the Old Testament, of course, it says, the deliverer will come from Zion and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them. I will take away their sins. The Messiah is going to come and deliver his people. The nation of Israel will turn back to God after we are gone at the fullness of the Gentiles, and there will be great deliverance and salvation for Israel. He says, this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. This is called the new covenant. It first originally was stated in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. The new covenant went into effect when Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for sin. The fulfillment of the new covenant takes place when Jesus Christ comes as the king and sets up the kingdom in Jerusalem and takes care of his people. Now, there's the tree, which is the service for God. There's the natural branch, which is the Jew. They rejected the Messiah. He broke them off and set them aside. The wild olive tree is us, the church, the Gentiles. We believe in Jesus. He takes us, grafts us in, and says, I'm going to show you kindness. You will serve me. One of these days, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes, he's going to take us off. And when Israel turns back to God, he's going to pick up the branches and graft them back in and continue to use his people. Paul answers his own question, has God cast away his people? No way. What have we seen? Realize that God uses both the church and the nation of Israel for his plans and purposes. Realize that Israel, the natural branches, were broken off for service because they rejected the Messiah. Realize the church, which is the Gentiles, or the wild branches, were grafted in for service when we believe. One day Israel will return to the Messiah and be grafted in again. And the partial hardening will happen until the fullness of the church, the Gentiles, when we're taken off. And then Jesus will take care of his people, Israel. Powerful. Let me give you the applications. Understand that our sovereign God works all things according to his plans. We don't even understand all these things. In fact, when we get to the end next week, Romans 11:33, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Can't grasp it all. We believe it because he's got it written. I don't understand how he does it. He is the sovereign God working all things according to his plan. Two, let's thank God for the privilege of serving him. We as the body of Christ, we are the wild branches that got grafted in. We get to serve the living God. We want to be faithful because one day we're going to be taken out when the fullness comes, and we want to be faithful to tell people about Jesus. When we go out this door, we represent Christ. We get to tell them how he died on the cross, how he paid for sin, how he rose again, and whoever will believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's that simple. Let's be faithful because let's thank God we get to serve him. Three. Understand that God will use his people, Israel, once again. Understand that. Now, just we'll start with that because A is not supposed to be up there right this second, but understand that God will use his people, Israel, again. He's not through with his people. A, there has been a partial hardening of Israel. Partial in the sense it's not to all Jewish people, and partial in the sense that it's temporary. It's going to end. One day, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come, when God has built his church, when Jesus Christ said, I will build my church, when he's through building his church, and we are taken off, the partial hardening will be gone. And B, Israel as a nation will turn to God and be delivered. Now, this is deep stuff. The average believer doesn't want this stuff. I just want you to understand. Thanks for sitting in here and dealing with it. And thanks for dealing with it week after week as we go through Romans 9, 10, and 11. The average believer wants to hear something nice and go home. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It goes right to the heart of the issue. These are truths that God wants us to know and understand. If we want to grow, we've got to look at God's Word in depth. Even the hard parts, even the part that we say, oh, I wish we were over in chapter 12. You know what? I wish we were in chapter 12. That gets into the application. Application's a lot easier than some of the theology that Paul gives. But you have to know the truth. It's powerful. At the end of the tribulation, the nation of Israel will turn to God, be delivered spiritually and physically as Jesus returns to set up the kingdom. May we rest in our sovereign God, serving Him, proclaiming Jesus Christ as the Savior, knowing that one day, after we're taken out, He will use His people again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for these truths. It's so powerful. May we understand and realize how sovereign You are, and You work all things according to the counsel of Your will. May we trust You, Lord, that You take Israel and the church and You just use us. Lord, we thank You for the privilege of serving You, that You have taken us, wild branches, so to speak, and You've placed us to serve You. You're using us. Thank You, Lord. May we be faithful. Lord, we realize one day, in the fullness of the Gentiles, when we're taken out, that partial hardening will be lifted and the nation of Israel will turn back to You. And You will deliver them and they will be serving You just as we've got to serve You now. Lord, may we understand Your truth. Thank You for giving us the deep things of Your Word so that we can know them and apply them in our lives. May we continue to grow, and Lord, may we be faithful to fulfill our responsibility. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.